to study that hymn we just sang to really, really get a good appreciation of it, because there's so much backwards phrasing, it's hard to understand what you're saying. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. We started this chapter last week and did not get past verse number 1. This is the account, the historical record of the children of Israel making a golden calf to worship as their God. This happened while Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the tables of stone with God's law written upon them. And this is a people who have seen more miracles than any people who've ever lived, apart from those who lived in the Holy Land during the 3.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. And, what just grabs our attention about this chapter is how rapidly men can turn from the true and living God if they don't have a genuine heart relationship to that God. Somebody else's faith will not stand the test of time for you. Those people, they couldn't depend on the faith of Moses to get them by. Somebody else's confidence in God will not get you through the trials and temptations of your life. You can't just observe God's handiwork, and you can't just be blessed by God's great grace. No, you have to be a believer, and you have to walk by faith, not by sight, or else sooner or later, something's going to rise up and cause you to fall. Okay, so let's read, starting at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, No, that we can't do that. Well, that would be the right answer. No, Aaron said unto them, Impossible. That'd be a good answer. Aaron said unto them, God forbid. That'd be a right answer. But sadly, his real answer is, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. So he goes along with this blasphemous scheme. He goes along with this testimony to unbelief. He goes along with this outrageous demand without raising a single word in objection. There's no resistance on the part of Aaron that we can see here. There's no attempt to reason on the part of Aaron. There's no humble calling on God for help on the part of Aaron here. He aims to please the people. He's the perfect modern minister. He may well be the first of millions to follow. Millions of assistant pastors who, for their own self-interests, have failed to uphold the principles and the truths taught by and set and examples set by the pastor. And as soon as that pastor's back is turned, as soon as he's away, here comes the number two man courting the favor of the people and encouraging them in their carnality, encouraging them in their lack of desire to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Notice the people, these people readily gave to the servants of their false gods what obviously they'd never thought of giving to the true and living God. Verse 3, And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand. What a great tragedy. What a tragedy. Why are you receiving such a thing, Aaron? Why are you taking possession of such an offering? And he received them at their hand and fashioned it, the gold that they gave him. He fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. So he heats the gold, melts down that gold, forms that gold into a calf, and then he finishes up, a little handiwork, a little decoration, puts some eyes on it, a mouth on it, draws some little hoofs on it, into that gold. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." What unbelievable madness that is. What ridiculous, shameful, offensive behavior. It's incredible. It boggles the mind. Consider this. There couldn't possibly be a single person in that entire camp of Israel who actually thought that something Aaron had just made with his hands had, prior to being made by the hands of a man, been present in Egypt and responsible for bringing them out of Egypt. There couldn't have been one single person there over the age of 4 that believed what they just said right here. "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." That's an utter slap in the face of a holy God. It's a complete denial and rejection of the true God who really did the work. All right, now, and we need to listen to this. We need to pay attention. This is important to us. When you say that you're going to heaven because you belong to a church, you're not just giving undue honor and glory to that church. You're dishonoring God. When you say that you are good enough to have eternal life because you've been baptized in some water, you are not only giving recognition to that water that it doesn't deserve, you are putting down God himself. When you mouth off about your belief in evolution and your belief in many ways to heaven, and you put your little coexist signs up and claim that all religions are equal. Listen, you are not just expressing an alternate view. You're not just taking a different position. You are speaking out. You are striking out against God Almighty. "These be thy gods, O Israel." They're claiming. They are testifying. They are expressing their faith, their belief, their trust, their confidence in something Aaron just made with his hands. It's amazing. Verse 5, "And when Aaron saw it," the golden calf, "he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" So he's now giving worship to something he just made with his hands. He's now directing that the people worship something he just made with his hands. They're now planning to enjoy the celebration of something they just made with their hands. These are the people that sang with Miriam as they sang praises to God for bringing them through the Red Sea. These are the same people. I mean, really, listen. The morning that they came to Aaron and they said, "We need another God," they had eaten manna that fell from heaven. That very morning on the evening that they made ready to have the festival of the golden calf, they gathered manna and ate manna that fell down from heaven. hard to believe until you walk into a liberal modern church where they still say the Lord, and they still say Jesus, and they still say God, but what they worship is money and pleasure and sin and lust and prosperity and wealth and humanism and psychology and self-esteem and anything but the God of the Bible. It's unbelievable until you look around, till you walk into a mainline church, whether it's Protestant or Papist, and you see women in the pulpits and homosexuals serving on the board and adulterers and adulteresses singing in the choir and every sin under the sun sitting out there in the pews and everybody waving their hands and smiling and singing about how much I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. They just never get around to saying who it is that they love. And even if they did, they'd be giving the name of the holy God to a God who's not holy. It's the same business. Verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So there you have it. There it is. It's a worship service where lies, false doctrine, and sin prevail. It's a worship service where the people give, but the focus, I mean, listen, look, there's nothing in verse 6. Nothing in verse 6 about sanctification, about righteousness, purity, truth, or doctrine. I mean, look at the order that is there. They eat, they drink, they play. They eat, they drink, they play. And do you know whose churches are growing fastest today? The ones with the most playtime. Do you know what churches are most popular? The ones with the most playtime. Do you know what churches are being filled with people who used to believe the Bible when they went to Bible preaching churches? The churches with the most playtime. Do you know where mothers and fathers are taking their teenagers? To churches with the most playtime. Do you know where parents are taking their boys and girls? To the churches with the most playtime. Do you know where you know who occupies the spots on religious television? The people with the most playtime. And that's where we are. That's where we are. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people. How do you like that? God doesn't want them. It's your people, Moses. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. How about that? In verse 1, they said, we don't believe in God. That's basically what they said. Chapter 32, verse 1, we don't believe in God. They said, Moses is the one brought us out of Egypt, and we're going to make a golden calf to be our God. And so you can't make statements like that if you believe in God. So God hears that. He says, okay, fine, that's what you want. That's the way you want it. That's the way it'll be. Moses, you need to go down to the people you brought out of Egypt. I'm through with them. I'm done with them. They have corrupted themselves. They have corrupted themselves. All right, so first of all, a couple of things we can notice here. First, they were not foreordained. These people were not foreordained to make a golden calf. It was not predetermined by God that they would make a golden calf. They were not elected to make a golden calf. They were not forced by some irresistible decree to make a golden calf. God said they did that themselves. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not responsible for their actions. And we need to get that. Secondly, God said they are worshiping. They have an altar. They're keeping a feast. They're bringing sacrifices. They're bringing offerings. And everything they're doing is corrupt. And you know, those who think, you know, as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. As long as you're following your heart, you have good intentions. As long as you deeply feel, no. If you are not worshiping the one true God in the way that the one true God told you to worship, your worship is corrupt. Your altar is corrupt. Your sacrifices are corrupt. Your offerings are corrupt. Your feasts are corrupt. Your congregation is corrupt. Your assembly is corrupt. That's what God said. And yeah, when words like these are preached, people get angry. But I'm just reading you what the Bible says. That's what God said. They have corrupted themselves. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. You listening? It doesn't take long. It didn't take them years and years to turn aside. It didn't take them months to turn aside. Moses has been gone no more than 40 days. 1 month and 10 days. 5.5 weeks. That's it. Under 6 weeks has Moses been gone, and the people, look how quickly they've turned aside and how far they've turned aside. God said they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. People say, well, it's just an aid to worship. That's not what God says. Well, it just helps us when we pray. That's not what God says. Well, it just reminds us. That's not what God says. God said, when you make that graven image, and you put an altar before that graven image, and you bow and pray before that graven image, and you offer your sacrifices and your offerings before that graven image, God said you are indeed worshiping that thing that you made with your hands and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to tell you something. As we read further down in this chapter, you know what we're going to find out? Moses really didn't believe it. He couldn't believe his ears. He wasn't sure about this. Joshua, he's going to come down off that mountain with him. He doesn't get it. How could you really? How could you comprehend that? After all that had happened, after all that had been done for these people by God, how could you take in such a report? If God said to Moses right there on that mountain, the people are worshiping an idol, a calf made out of gold, and they're calling it their God, how do you grasp that? How do you take that in? If you're Moses up there on that holy mount in the very presence of God, the thunderings, the lightning, the smoke, the people, they saw that stuff too, you know. They just got used to seeing it, I guess. Remember when we first read about it, that fear, that dread, that awe-inspiring presence of God, those clouds up on the mountain, shaking that mountain, the fire burning on that mountain? Must have got used to it. Got used to it. Well, you know that great hymn singing in the church? You got used to it, didn't you? That fiery preaching that used to fill your soul, you got used to it. Being part of the family of God, you got used to it. Right? The thought that you could pray and God would hear you. The thought that you had God's words in the Holy Bible that you could read for yourself. You got used to all those things, didn't you? You got used to it, and it's lost its wow. It lost its power to motivate and to direct. It happens. You know, the idol they made was the same as the chief Egyptian god. Down there in Egypt, they worshipped a young bull called Apis, A-P-I-S. And it was worshipped at Memphis, near the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. And we learn from Joshua 24:14 that Israel worshipped idols in Egypt. We learn from Ezekiel 20, verse number 8, that Israel worshipped idols in Egypt. We learn from Ezekiel 23, verses 3-8, that Israel worshipped idols in Egypt. All right, now think with me. If you don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for generations in Egypt, you are praying to idols, and you are brought out of Egyptian bondage, and you never, in your heart, you never convert. You never put your trust and your faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, how long will it take you to revert back to what you were in Egypt? An idolater. And could you not convince yourself that idol to which you prayed before did indeed bring you out of Egypt? They talked themselves into it. They convinced themselves that's what happened. But look in Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 5. Beginning in verse number 5. Ezekiel 20, beginning in verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That tells me they had them there. Okay, God said get rid of the idols. So they had them. Verse 8, but they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. All right, so look, this is not after they left Egypt. When they came up with this crazy idea to make this golden calf and worship it. Oh no, they are reverting back to the sinful idolatry that they practiced while they were in the land of bondage. Why is that so? Why is it so important? And we need to get this. Let's make the comparison here. These people, they were saved out of Egyptian bondage by the grace of God when they did one thing right in their entire lives. They put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of their houses. They were not doing right before that. It's clear that they were not doing right after that. But they were redeemed by God's grace from the bondage in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. When they, one time in their lives, did the right thing and put their faith in the blood of the Lamb. But because they never gave their hearts, souls, strength, and minds to the Lord who redeemed them, it wasn't long before they reverted back to the sinful, idolatrous practices of the life they lived before they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? You following me? I hope so. Hope you're listening. All right? Before you got saved, you were not good enough to be saved. Your life was a life of sin, of violating God's word, long years, habitual years, ongoing years of sin. Then, by God's grace, when after all those years of sinning, you did one thing right, you put your faith in the blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you did that, God saved you by His grace through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. But brethren, now that you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, if you do not love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, how long do you think it'll be before you revert back to the sins, the lifelong sins that for so many years influenced your being? How long will it be before you go back to your idolatry if you don't surrender your all to God, your Savior? You got to think about these things. You can't just chalk this up as one more Bible study here. You got to ponder these things in your heart. Meditate on these things. The idols that you left behind still have an appeal to your flesh. And so if you don't maintain a right relationship with God, you will once again find yourself bowing down to those idols. And that's a serious business there. That's the truth. So we got to watch ourselves the same as they should have done. So we'll end there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this record in your Holy Scriptures. Because, Lord, that we know that we're no better than these people. And we thank you, Lord, that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to believe you, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, let us not look back to those things of our past life, our unsaved life of sin, but help us, Lord, to rejoice in the life that you've given us and to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.